and tidy. The biblical evidence, so from the front of the Bible, from Genesis through to Revelation, leads us to two fundamental statements concerning the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is truly human, he is truly God. And that is the whole revelation of Scripture from cover to cover that can be unfolded. Now, we know that that's the truth, but we each find it quite difficult to explain that God is one, and yet God has a fullness about him, which is expressed in what I've tried to illustrate in showing the bread about God, who is spirit, taking human flesh. It is not easy to explain. One of the most humorous explanations I've ever seen was in Nuns on the Run, Robbie Coltrane trying to explain the Trinity. And if you want a little hint at that, you can just see it is quite difficult to explain. But nevertheless, it is the teaching of Scripture, certainly in the coming of Christ, that he is truly human and he is truly God. And that very claim that Jesus made got him into all sorts of trouble, as we know. I can't pretend that this doctrine is easy for my mind to grasp, but that doesn't stop me seeking to understand it with my mind, but more than that, to experience Godhead. Because God wants us not just to know about him, which is important, the facts, but to experience and know God. And part of Christian testimony is not just factual, it is personal. Because God is calling people to know him with their minds, but also in their experience, so that we can worship God with our heart, our soul, our mind, and all of our strength. And that is how we know things in ordinary human life. It's not just the facts that we love our children, we love them. And so the mind and the heart are all important in grasping the truth. And they're part of our explanation of many things in life. Although, of course, they're open to the criticism. Well, that's you. You experience it like that, and I experience it like this. Advent and Christmas, or whenever we share communion, or talk about Jesus, or meet with Jesus, are times when we are led to worship and encounter Jesus, God incarnate, God in human form. And we've made reference to the scripture in Isaiah, and I don't really need to read it again, but it was quoted and made reference to the promise, not just of a human saviour from Midian, but also the coming of a child. A child is born to us. A son is given to us. He will be our ruler. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. His royal power will continue to grow. His kingdom will always be at peace. He will rule as King David's successor, basing his power on right and justice from now until the end of time. The Lord Almighty is determined to do this. And so within the pages of Scripture, we have the promises of the coming of the divine man, the Messiah, the Christ of God. And just as the Alpha courses focus in on Jesus as the way into relationship with God, so too we, when we share with other people this simple gospel, focus in on Jesus. And we know if we're sharing too much of ourselves or getting too entrenched into other sorts of arguments, we need to come back to Jesus. And we need to be able to share from our up-to-the-minute experience of Jesus, even if it is an experience of difficulty and struggle. John, in his gospel, and indeed in his letters, spends much time describing the and wondering, and they come together, describing and wondering about God taking on human flesh and blood and living among us for a while. He was fascinated with it, thank goodness, and he wrote and thought about it so much. And to the Greeks, he said, the Word, the eternal Logos, the Word became a human being and full of grace and truth, lived among us. We saw his glory, the glory which he received as the Father's only Son. And it goes on into wonderful scriptures. John spoke about him. He cried out, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, he comes after me, but he is greater than me, because he existed before I was born. Out of the fullness of his grace, he has blessed us all, giving us one blessing after another. God gave the law through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only Son, who is the same as God and is at the Father's side. He has made him known." And the Council of Chalcedon took hundreds of years to express that, and they still didn't express it as well as John did. The divine human. John describes not just the Christology, not just the nature of Jesus, but the purpose of Jesus. He came to make God known. Why did Jesus come? Well, one of the reasons he came to make God known. Another one is he came to destroy all the works of darkness. But we're given the purpose of Jesus. And actually, it is as we understand the purpose of Jesus that we begin to understand the nature of Jesus. Does that make sense? Some people spend an awful lot of time trying to explain the Trinity from that end of the argument. But if you think about the purpose, about what Jesus came to do, it will give you a very clear way into understanding his nature, as is revealed in Scripture. So the purpose of Jesus, from beginning to end of the Bible, is not so much the search that people make for God that we read about. We do read some of that. From beginning to end in the Bible, it's not so much the search that people make for God, but the refusal of God to be a stranger to human beings. That is the story that I read about. God's refusal to be a stranger to human beings. God will not accept that some human beings don't want to know him. God is intent from even before the creation of humanity to create a being with whom he can fellowship and share himself and all of his grace through blessings innumerable. God created men and women that he may share with them, fellowship with them, and share his blessings upon them. That is the nature of God, to be a gracious, gracious God. God could have existed independently without creating humanity, but God wanted to fellowship and share his blessings with us. I do not believe that shows inadequacy on God's part, as some have tried to say, but it shows, if I may humbly say, that he is whole and mature in his personhood, and we just aspire to that. Jesus is the expression of the one God's commitment to rescue human beings from our predicament, created to know God and not at peace until we do know God. Jesus has come to reveal God's thoughts and plans and to repair the severed relationship. And this is what we've celebrated, to repair that relationship. This is what we're trying to find ways and opportunities to share with other people, that they too can be at home with God and in relationship with him because of Jesus. And at Christmas time, as Liz says, we just seek to offer welcome to any who come, as Mary and Joseph were welcomed and given a place. We seek to welcome them, that they too may see the Christ child. We retell the accounts of the birth of Jesus of Nazareth and the events that surrounded it, the divine human. We read of the human physical events of betrothal, a pregnancy, a census, a difficult journey, overcrowding, the delivery of a child, his naming as Jesus, and that he was placed in a manger. Most other facts or accretions, they've been added to, so we go back to the gospel. We read of the heavens touching the earth in angelic visitations and pronouncements, dreams and instructions, angels singing, shepherds being called to worship a child in Bethlehem, the ancient town of David. And then some days later, magi from the east bringing wonderful gifts, visiting Jesus in the house and bowing down to pay homage to the one they had foreseen by the rise of an amazing star, King of the Jews. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. The Lord alone is our God. The Hebrews learned that God would tolerate no rivals, no idolatry. They were to love God and never to bow down or worship any other. And so the scriptures reveal an awesome God, a holy God, but also a God that is calling his people into an intimate and personal relationship with him. How can this be achieved since we have never known God through mere intellect or striving? Like Mary, we say, how can this be? Humanity's story is always one of us or anyone else trying to climb the ladder of intellect or attempt at holy living to reach God. And the sending and coming of Jesus is God's solution. God coming to us. God taking flesh and blood and skin and living for a season among us, showing us what a life given to God is like, teaching us more about the one God and demonstrating the love of that one God. Jesus, who lived a sinless life, becoming sin and rising from death to repair the torn relationship so that we might know God, as had always been God's intention. God, the one person. Again, I say, reading the Bible and experiencing God leads us to say, the Lord Jesus Christ is truly human and truly God. This is the teaching of the Bible, the Bible's testimony. Nothing less is claimed. But through 2,000 years, people again and again have repeated errors in seeking to see who Jesus really is. You and I can present the biblical evidence of this to others. We do that at Alpha and many other things. We can also, though, tell our own story of our experience of Jesus. But with those two things, we also need to pray. And Liz added that on her 5-star points. We can only pray for God, who wants to, so we haven't got to persuade God, to reveal this to others, that Jesus is the divine human. We can only ask God to draw aside the curtain and show the truth of this. This is where we are utterly dependent upon the working of God, the Spirit, to convince people of this truth. How can this be since, and you can fill in whatever you want, the Holy Spirit will come upon you? It is a work of the Spirit. And we know that Jesus himself, despite his words and demonstrations of power, ran into all sorts of difficulties with religious authorities and powers because of what he claimed about himself. God is one, and in his fullness has made himself known to us in the person of Jesus Christ through the working of his Holy Spirit. Let's just take a few moments, shall we, in stillness, just to be in the presence of God. I just love the sound of the baby. That is just another physical thing. It's just reminding us of the miracle of the incarnation. So don't let that disturb you. Let it roll into a blessing of revelation about God. Just to reinforce the truth, because often the truth is sung, the hymn we sing speaks about the divine love, which excels any human love, which no human love is ever quite perfect. It's only the divine love that is. We're going to sing this hymn, Love Divine or Love's Excelling, and then there'll just be a pause, and there will be a sung blessing. All right, so no prayer after that, please. So we'll sing the hymn, there'll be a pause, and then we'll have a sung blessing. Let's stand, if we can, to sing Love Divine.